foreknowledge and destiny. They are far apart, actually, as we're going to learn today in basics on this subject. Destiny is where God, no doubt from the first earth age, there's no room for doubt, because people earn certain awards, that God is going to intercede in their life. Now, let's discuss, if we may for a moment, foreknowledge. And many people think, oh, I wish God would just touch me and let me know what tomorrow brings. If He would just send me that gift. If He would just touch and give me foreknowledge in all things that tomorrow brings, whereby I could plan for it properly. And they pray much for foreknowledge. That's not the way you get it. Okay? It helps. But foreknowledge, let's take it in the Greek. Now, many of you medical people will use the word all the time. It's prognosis. P-R-O-G-N-O-S-I-S. Prognosis. As many Greek words are utilized by the medical community. You need to make a few prognostic decisions on your own concerning our Father's Word. And foreknowledge is exactly that. Well, first, what is one of the... We brought up the medical field. Let's use it for a moment, if we may. They won't mind. Many times, a doctor might say, well, a specialist that is a chemist would say, I'm going to design this pill, I'll call it a pill, and I'm going to make it red, and I'm going to use the shotgun effect. And that's a term in medicine, so that it covers many areas. Let's say that you might have an allergy or something. Boy, that's one of the most common approaches to treating that is shotgun. In other words, shoot out there in a bunch of directions, and you might hit the one it is. That's what that's called anyway, okay? I'm not saying all doctors use, well, be that as it may. But in your spiritual life, you need to do a little more than make a shotgun prognosis or prognosis, all right? You need to specialize in your field. He may take this little pill and say, I'm going to make this where it'll cure headaches. It will cure knock knees, bow legs, and make childbirth a pleasure. Okay, that's a shotgun approach. Now, one like that, you'd have something, all right? But, again, the basis for foreknowledge is what? Knowledge. And what is the first principle of knowledge? Is wisdom. So, there's one little old book that is called... And I'll translate the Hebrew in its fullness. It's called To Compare, or Comparisons, or Rules. You know it by the word Proverbs. In other words, God in wisdom gives you the good and the bad examples, and then expects you to use wisdom and make up your own mind. So, it is the first step. So if you would, right after the book of Psalms, open your Bibles to that little old book of Proverbs. The comparisons by a very wise man, Solomon, the son of David. And I want to get to the, if we may, the prime root of wisdom so that we can simplify that in our minds. Let's take chapter 1, Proverbs 1. And let's begin with verse 5. A wise man will hear. Boy, that's a big first step for some people. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. If you hear a wise counsel, perhaps every word of it is not necessarily wise in your mind, but at least pick up that makes common sense to you, for common sense is what understanding is. Something put forward in a commonsensical way gives you understanding. And then your wisdom is able to assemble that in your mind and apply it. I said, apply it to your life, all right, to your reasoning. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In other words, to have the ability to even understand dark sayings really means the deeper sayings, the deeper truths that are hidden therein, good or bad, right? To be able to interpret it, to understand it, to, again, assimilate it in your mind whereby you can utilize it in your daily chore. Now, here's why we came here is the next verse. Listen carefully. The fear, and translate that reverence, all right? The Hebrew will translate reverence, and it should be. To reverent, the reverence of the Lord is the beginning. Say that over in your mind a few times. Reverence of the Lord is the beginning. Reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And let me tell you something. There is no other knowledge that is going to profit you in your business, in your spirit, in your religion, or in even a civil way, in civil courts, as the Proverbs will do in your daily life, all right? The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, here's your comparison, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They won't listen. I know they all fail, but I can do it. I'm going to pick up that hot Brandon Arn. I can do it and it won't bother me. And psh, there it goes. Got to learn for themselves sometimes. Well, perhaps that's healthy in a way too. If nothing else, you will learn pretty soon that you should have listened to wisdom, all right, or someone that had warned you. And that goes on in daily life. You receive warning for forewarning, forewarning, forewarning. And you plot, and sometimes in your mind, and you plan around, and sometimes you're going to get burned when you pick up the hot iron. And it's just part of life. And perhaps at times that's healthy, if you understand what I'm saying, is to have to learn some lessons the hard way can certainly mature us, and certainly none of us are perfect and above making a few along the way. I felt by the time I got into my 60s, with gray hair, I should never make a mistake. Well, when you start through your second childhood, it's all over again. I jest, I hope. Okay. But never think you're above a mistake, because we make them. That's human nature. As long as we are in these flesh bodies, thank God we've got something better coming. And it is a challenge. But use wisdom, and never forget, this is the first principle of wisdom. It's so important. I'm not afraid of overemphasizing. The first principle of wisdom is loving our Father, because all wisdom comes from Him, that being the reason. Turn over with me to the fourth chapter, fourth proverb. This is Solomon really leveling with you. He says here, "Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding." In other words, even if it means correction in your life, earnestly, willingly seek it. Listen to it as it talks to you. Let wisdom become your friend, for she does speak to you. She speaks in this ear, and Satan speaks in this one. And the comparison must go on in here. Okay? Even if it means correction, love it, because that is wisdom. Verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Now, never forget that. What's good doctrine? It's the truth, and you're holding the truth before you. It is the Word of God. And in loving Him and reverencing Him, draws this Word closer to you. It becomes not a book, but a reality. Verse 3, for I was my father's son. Remember, this is Solomon and David was his father. Plus, go to the deeper saying. What's the deeper saying? God is his father. But consider both and take it on two levels. That's wisdom. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now, that in itself can cause complications if Papa decides, this is the day I crack the whip. You know, and there stands Mama over my dead body. Maybe not in front of the child, but do you understand where I'm coming from? So maybe somebody needed that. I don't know. But Solomon didn't. He listened to both. All right. He said, out of this, regardless of this, listen, regardless of the complications, being tender means I didn't really know a whole lot of anything, but I was willing to learn. Well, sometimes we find ourselves each time we broach a new subject. We're tender, regardless of what your age and the physical is. For he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. I could translate that, keep my commandments and live again, only you never stop living. Because you, in keeping his advice and instruction, you have eternal life. Without all the hang-ups and the pain and hurt of the flesh age, flesh body, this body, we've got something really good coming. I think this is pretty good myself, and wisdom can cause that to happen also, that you can end that joy, that foreknowledge, even in the flesh. If you stay pretty close, I should say, as a pastor and teacher, hang on to that commandment and don't you dare sway this way or that. But I know you're going to. All right, I'm a realist. I'm just telling you how to get back on course. I suppose that's one of the wisest things that a wise man could say, is to know the way to get back on course. Because you are going to get off occasionally. Okay? But you do that by keeping his commandments. 5, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Boy, listen, I'm going to tell you what. When times are really tough and you got so much on your mind, well, I just forgot what I was doing there for a moment. Don't forget the basic principles of wisdom or you're going to mess up. And when you're under the most stress is the time you do that. It's when you make your bad decisions. Don't forget it. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Father has spoken, both the earthly Father and your heavenly Father has spoken many words of wisdom. From his mouth. It's good doctrine because it's what? It's truth. And it's not really a very wise thing to argue with truth. In the process of learning and in the process of elimination, we all do that at times. But it's not wise to argue all your life because probably you have a spirit of argument that dwells within you. If you always argue with the truth that has been tested and proved by your father to be correct over a lifetime. Forsake her not. Do you know what? That's wisdom. Cling to her. Embrace her. Get close to her. And she shall preserve thee. Love her. And she shall keep thee. I'll tell you what. If you'll cling to her and love her, she will never leave you. You won't forget her because she will be against you, caressing you, holding you, reminding you. Not for this lecture, but if you ever have a weak moment, wisdom speaks to us in the 8th proverb. And oh, what a beautiful being she or he is, whichever case you might, gender you might wish to use. Use it. For wisdom herself speaks. And she has a message for you. So do love her. And again, let's have a little pop quiz here as we move along. What is the first principle of wisdom? Loving your Father. You can't help loving His Word if you love Him. That's impossible. Some person you really care about, and I mean care deeply, their words mean very much to you. You're going to hear them because you want to understand that individual. Let it be that way with your Heavenly Father. Because He indeed returns that love unashamedly, lovingly, and willingly. And wisdom is that first precept, the first step in that reverencing Him. It is the byproduct of that. You can't love your Father and not have some wisdom. Seven, wisdom is the principal thing. Think about that a moment. Boy, it's so simple, but let it soak in. Let it soak way in. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. That means common sense, or as some of you in the South might say, horse sense. Learn how to use it. If a wasp stung you yesterday and you pick up that wasp again today, guess what? Or another buddy, he's going to sting you. Oh, you know, wisdom is a beautiful thing. Naturally, that's an analogy. But we do that many times in our life, okay? Get wisdom. Exalt her and she shall promote thee. I don't care if it's your business, your religion, or any civil matter. That's a true statement, I promise you. She will promote you. Don't stay in the same old place. Not mentally, especially, or spiritually. Move ahead, grow. Be promoted by her. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Hold her close, my friend. She will never disappoint you. She may argue against you at times, but that's all right. Listen to her when you hold her close. Embrace her and be promoted. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. That's what you get from it. She can't help promoting you. That crown ultimately in the end is eternal life. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Don't take the shotgun path. Be specific, especially in your spiritual walk. Foreknowledge. You've got three trails. Let's look at foreknowledge in a little different way. You've got three trails. You've never been this way before. Which path are you going to take? That's dangerous to not know. Well, I could go this way or I could go that way. That's a shotgun approach. And I'm using this as an analogy to your spiritual wisdom, is to know which way to go. What allows you to? Even though you've never been that way before, foreknowledge tells you which way to go. How do I get foreknowledge? How do I attain that? Do you know where your answer is? Your answer is in a little book called Amos. He was a poor old sheep herder that they didn't let him have anything but the little scrawny sheep. But the wool they produced was the best there was. You'll find him, Daniel, Joel, Amos. Let's go there for a moment. Right after Daniel, you've got in the Minor Prophets, you've got Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and Amos. How about that? Your teacher's sharp today. Woo. Where do we want to go in Amos? I've got one verse here for you. It tells you about foreknowledge and how you get it. All right? You never have to worry about it again, and here is wisdom. Chapter 3, the book of Amos, verse 7. God is dressing the people down here, but He says in the center of this, surely the Lord God will do nothing. Now, do you know what nothing means? Surely, that means certainly, beyond any doubt, God will do nothing. But He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. So where do you get foreknowledge? From the prophets. From the Word of God. In other words, I would say to you, instead of praying for knowledge, pray for understanding and get to work. That's how you gain foreknowledge, is by understanding your Father's Word. It is written. And it's going to happen exactly as it's written. Therefore, you have foreknowledge of what tomorrow brings. It's that simple. And my friends, that is wisdom. And the first principle of wisdom is to love your Father. And that in itself causes you to love His Word. And then His Word becomes simplified for you. And the path materializes before your very eyes, in the buds of your mind. And your memory, your remembrance comes forth when you study your Father's Word, which is the prophets. That, my friend, gives you foreknowledge. What's God telling you? You've got to work for it. All right? You have to work at it. And that doesn't mean to become a religious fanatic. It simply means learn with understanding from your Father's Word. You know, what's worse than anything else is to be robbed after you once have something. It is. And many that study God's Word, if they're not careful in this generation, are going to be robbed. Because they might listen to man for a moment rather than listening to the Word. The simplicity of the Word. I want to take you now to one that probably most of you have memorized, and that's Mark 13 in the New Testament. God will do nothing. That means all of it, the whole ball of wax, without having it in His prophet's mouth, without having it recorded, without it being written. That is to say, that you, in your studies, can ascertain what it is He would have you do, basically. That is to say, the principal things, the things that are really important. You all are familiar with this chapter. It's where the disciples said, Jesus, what's it going to be like when you return at your second advent? And He gave the seven seals, the events that make up the seven seals, the fact that some of you are going to be delivered up before the false Christ. Some of you are not to premeditate what you'll say beforehand, but He's going to give that to you at that moment. That is destiny. You can't change that. That's set. But foreknowledge is kind of on your own part. Never let man or man's traditions pull you away from what you with wisdom know and understand from your Father's Word. Having told us about the appearance of the spurious Messiah in Jerusalem, in verse 21 of Mark, I hope I said Mark, did I? Mark 13? Okay. Mark 13, verse 21, and then, well, now this is wisdom right from Christ Himself. And then, if any man shall say to you, what is He telling you there? If you listen to man, or a man that would say this, he's messing with you, friend. He's messing with you. Listen to me. It's going to happen. There are people going to tell you you're wrong. If any man say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, He is there, believe Him not. You have to have certain principles, and wisdom is that you don't change colors like a chameleon every time the sun shines or you walk into the shade. It's well to be open-minded and to learn and to grow. That is wisdom. But to change your basic principles every time the wind changed directions is sad. Okay? So remember that. If some man comes to you, as long as you're in this flesh body, and says Christ is in the desert or he's in Jerusalem, he's lying. How do you know? 22. For, not maybe. For false Christ and false prophets shall, not maybe, shall rise. And shall show signs and wonders. Boy, I mean to tell you, you haven't seen anything yet. Not even as His elect, even you would be deceived if you do not set your mind in concrete or in Christ, which is our foundation. To seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Listen, don't let it happen. Do I think it can happen? No. But don't get caught off guard and feel that you have to apologize for Christ, to Christ, for having wavered for a moment. Well, that was, it just really, I would have done that, but it wasn't politically correct. Who cares whether it's politically correct or not? That's traditions of men. I'm talking about in your own mind. Those that lean away from Christianity would have you as politically correct as Satan's pudding. Keep your mind on His Word. If someone tells you otherwise, it is not true. Example, how many people, after this clarity, don't let them deceive you, the false Christ shall come first. How many people teach that the first woman taken from this place was taken by Jesus? So stupid. Maybe that's too strong a word, but it's true. That He told them, and they would still. And as I said, what's worse is those that would know better because you're flirting with the unpardonable sin. And that's very serious, okay? And I'd say no more on that. The next verse is why we came here. But take ye heed. In a very gentle voice, He said, be real careful. Be on guard. Behold, or look here. I have foretold you all things. So, it kind of hurts me when a Christian says, I wish I had foreknowledge. You know? Now, we understand at different levels and what have you. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't have foreknowledge, you haven't read what He has foretold you. You have not studied it. You have not absorbed it. And we all develop daily in our Christian walk and our way. So the only thing you want to pray about foreknowledge is to pray that He helps you obtain it, that He helps you understand it. For the wisdom is here, the knowledge is here of what's going to happen. And He will help you understand it. And some of you have a destiny. That part is not up to you. You've already set that. It was decided long ago before the foundations of this earth age. But I would hate to be somebody that was really one with a destiny and didn't have the foreknowledge. Boy, would I be handicapped. Hey, there are enough handicaps in this world without building some of your own. When it's here. And the beginning of wisdom. Do you want wisdom? The beginning of wisdom is to love your Father. And don't you ever, ever let traditions of men or that men might say is correct all protect your credibility. Hey, you know, if you're around little children and they're playing a little game of beat the beast or something, you know, well, you'll say, oh, yes, dear, sluggy, you know, or whatever kind of game it might be, sometimes you go along with the politically correct that away because of your credibility. And in your own mind, you say, hey, fool, go ahead if you want to. It's all right with me. You know, and let them be politically correct if they must. But don't you dare, in your own mind, be sucked in by it. Don't you dare be deceived by some lame brain. When you have your Father, the Creator of your soul, the closest thing that you will ever have, that loves you has given you the truth. Don't you listen to man. He will guide you. He will show you the path. It is His way. Why? He loves you. Getting wisdom, what? The first principle of wisdom is loving Him, respecting Him, and listening to Him. In closing, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Back to basics. I love basics occasionally. It seems it's good for all of us to get back to knowing and understanding better prognosis. Because we have to make a lot of them in our life. You all know what the third chapter is. It's the three world ages, the three heaven ages. We're speaking of that that is yet to come. We're speaking of tomorrow. We're speaking of the future. And to understand that takes foreknowledge. You know that it's reading, the reading here, or the writing is that God is going to destroy the rudiment, which element, which is to say the wicked portions of this earth, both in people, around people, and on earth. They're gone. They're not going to be here. Verse 13. Now, with the words on wisdom, here in 2 Peter chapter 3, just before that great book of Revelation, practically, we find it, and it is so rich. We read there in that 13th verse of chapter 3, nevertheless, even regardless of the three earth ages, or taking those into consideration, we, according to His promise, that's foreknowledge, is understanding the promises. We, according to His promise, look. I mean, we're not just hoping. I hope it's true. We're looking. We know. We look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Boy, what a time that's going to be, beloved. It's so easy to say that. I mean, you've heard it all your life. But think about it with wisdom. And know that everything negative is removed and we're together. In a family. And there's no more accidents, no more wrecks, no more this or no more rob. Ain't nothing of that. None of that stuff. It's great. 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Can you do that? Be diligent. That you may be found of Him in peace without spot and blemish. And it's so easy for a Christian to go back, oh, I ate three biscuits this morning. I'm messing around with trouble here. Going to go to hell. It's not what it's talking about. Okay? It's talking about the elements that can sink your boat. That is like deception. God's promises. He knows you're not perfect. Blameless means that you have kept clean away from the deception that Antichrist brings into this world, and that you, like a warrior, stand before Antichrist and say, God, use me, your child, your servant. I'm ready. And to have the foreknowledge to know that and to not draw back. That was His... Don't you understand that was your Father's main concern, and that's why He called it the unforgivable sin? Do you think that He enjoys for one moment the fact that there is, or even needs to be spoken, an unforgivable sin? Of course it didn't please Him. Because He's long-suffering, meaning patient. Do I think it will happen? No, I do not. Because I think all of you are ready to say, God, use me. For that one time in your life, it is the destiny. See, that's the difference in destiny and foreknowledge. Anyone, in a sense, can have a certain amount of foreknowledge and not even be one of God's elect. I said up to a point. But destiny is cut in stone. That's why I do not think it's possible. Now, blameless and without spot. 15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Now think on that a moment. Everybody says, I wish the end would come. Right there's the reason, beloved. Long-suffering. Don't you think everybody should have the privilege of obtaining salvation? And every soul must pass through this earth age. It's got to be. They've got to be sealed before the end can be. Or you're really wishing that God would cut it short and they wouldn't have an opportunity. That's why you have to always pray in your own mind, God, your will, your time, your place. But again, with foreknowledge, what does He give us? He lets us know that we're very near that time. But He's long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, it brings salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom, there's that word, wisdom giveth given unto him, hath written unto you. And that was God's promise. I will do nothing except I forewarn my prophets. Paul was one in a sense. All right? As well as the others. 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. And it is for some, for all of us, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They have trouble with it, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. But beloved, don't let it be to your destruction. I know you will not. For you use that wisdom and you gain that foreknowledge. Do you know what a promise is? If God promises something, that gives you foreknowledge of the fact that it's going to come to pass. Unless it is a personal promise. 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. What does that mean? Before. Foreknowledge. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. That's traditions of men, political correctness in some sense. Fall from your own steadfastness. That's your own stability. You can think you're real stable, and you can wake up in a different world if you're not careful, if you begin to listen to some of the malarkey that floats around this world today. Steadfast. Be steadfast. In what? Truth. You can never go wrong. 18, but grow in grace, that's unmerited favor, knowing you're going to mess up, but He's going to forgive you. Don't be so hard on people. And in the knowledge, foreknowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And I'll give it a second. I will say amen. Can you? All right. Wisdom. Loving your Father brings wisdom because it draws you to His Word. And, you know, it just really, when you listen to wisdom, it makes less those times we have to say, I'm sorry, I got all messed up, to Him. You know, not necessarily to man. But foreknowledge is so simple. If you know the one world system, those events that are coming to pass, and when you hear of events such as are transpiring now, then stop and think and utilize that wisdom. And we as a body with input are able to put together the answers, basically, that we are to use to make the comparison, which is what the word Proverbs again means, that we're to take. That simple. An oversimplification? I think not. Because when you're steeped in His Word and you know His advice and His promise, then you feel His love. And when His love enters you and those around you, when you walk into an area, that wisdom can be felt and others will seek it out from you. But never forget this one thing. It isn't necessarily your wisdom. It's the wisdom God gave you, loaned you, loved you with. And always make sure that it is He that gets the credit, that you're turning faces toward Him. For you can trust Him. You'll never steer anybody wrong. He is long-suffering and He wants them. And some of you have a destiny for that purpose alone. And some of you may get bored with life. It may just build right up on you. But that one out of your entire long day that can be so boring, when you have that one opportunity to a loved one or to a stranger to say, it's going to be okay. And if you love Him, you know. You're not guessing. You know it's going to be okay. Because He said so. And He knows what He's doing. There are many that are... Let's take an analogy. I don't like to bring up a depressing point, but I think my mind is going to allow it here. Let's take somebody that has really... we get all kinds of telephone calls. A young person bombed out. A young person to me is anywhere from whatever up to way up. Okay? Bombed their mind with drugs. And I mean in the alleyways of life. No future and no wisdom. And they've taken an oath, they've OD'd, let's say. But they're hanging in there. And all of a sudden they open their hearts. And they said, Lord, forgive me. For I see that it is You I should have followed. It is You that I should have gone that path. And He forgives them. And they die. And some say, well, what was that good for? Because they went to Him. No more alleys. No more of the wicked. But are healed in His glory. So you see, wisdom. Sometimes we with our flesh eyes cannot see all things, all levels. But what I want you to do is to close your flesh eyes and open your spiritual eyes and look at the beauty. Look at the reward. I said, close your flesh eyes when you look for this and open your spiritual eyes and gaze upon Him and tell wisdom you love her. Won't you do that? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your wisdom, Father, that You so generously share with those that seek it, that pray for it, that work at it. Help us to work further into Thy Word, that we understand even the darker things. Especially, Father, as You have utilized this ministry and given us a platform that goes around the world at this time, and is an impression, and we know it's You around the world. Give us that wisdom that we may touch lives for You and lead them through the byways into Your way. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.